welcome to Reddit on Reddit, the internet's auditory version of Reddit. I'm Nelson Allingham, joined by Michael Campbell.
I don't want people to panic looking at the episode numbers ticking up.
I'm panicking.
To think.
You can't stop me from panicking.
These two guys love not doing work.
Yep.
And an anniversary episode like 400 seems like maybe they need to do work.
Yep.
I'd say fear not.
Mm-hmm.
We think we've come up with an idea
yep.
that will actually allow us to do even less work than normal.
Yep.
So, exciting times.
So, episode 400.
Tune in.
Tune in.
Because to be clear, we're making other people do work.
It will. Yeah. What we've realized we can do, we actually found this out today, is we can take the audio from another episode, introduce our podcast, then just play that episode. So enjoy the Joe Rogan podcast for episode 400, where we introduce it as our own, sign it off as our own, I suppose, as well.
Yeah.
Just at the point where he's like, thanks for listening to, and I'll cut in and say. Reddit on Reddit podcast. Yeah.
That's, and the one we chose, oh, it's real problematic.
Yeah.
It's real conspiracy nuts on.
He does not go easy on a certain type of people, I would say. All right, Cambo, let's get into it here. This first one was in the subreddit, Am I Overreacting? Which I don't think we've ever used before.
Don't think so.
I like how really this is a subreddit that somebody should post in, Am I the Asshole? But they're like, I don't want to be called an asshole.
Yeah.
I could be overreacting. Maybe I'm not. I'll go to Am I Overreacting? But
I'm sure there is this subreddit, but is there the subreddit r/calmdown? Because it would be great. You post a rant and every comment just goes, calm down.
Whoa, calm down.
And it's when you know you're overreacting.
Yeah.
So this one, they're not sure, but when you know you're overreacting,
yeah.
You post an r/calmdown, everyone goes, well, hey, settle down. It's all right.
You can actually just cross post your Am I Overreacting once it has been confirmed that you are overreacting. Kill two birds with one stone. This user deleted their account.
Good start.
I think my wife is flirting with the mailman and have proof. She claims she is not and now won't talk to me. My wife and I are in our 30s. It's not very descriptive, is it?
Yeah, I know.
We have been married for 2 years. When we got married, we moved into a nice small house in the suburbs. Last summer, we got a mailman who is objectively attractive. Not going into detail, but he looks good.
Well, no need to go into detail. We understand.
Let's just make some assumptions here, Cambo. Mm-hmm. Nice, wavy hair.
Yeah.
Tall.
Mm. Better looking than this guy.
Better looking than this guy for sure. Muscular.
Yeah.
Not too muscular, though.
Not too muscular.
Yeah.
Not ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfectly toned.
Oh, my God.
That uniform looks good on him.
Oh, the uniform really seals the deal.
Yeah.
Objectively attractive. Towards the end of summer, I noticed my wife was almost always outside around the time he would bring the mail. I actually started tracking when she would go out on a spreadsheet. She averaged
this guy's
going
definitely out- better looking than this guy.
She averaged going out 20 minutes before the mail would get there. Get here. Obviously some variation as the mail didn't come at the exact same time each day, but it was weird. She would work on our front patio and then have a short conversation with the mailman. Then in about 7 minutes on average, she would come back inside and work from her office. Another thing I noticed is that her clothes seemed to change when she went outside. Almost 70% of the time, she would have a tank top on, then put a shirt over that when she came back inside. Suspicious. I didn't say anything as fall and winter came, and we live in a cold climate, and so she stopped going out. Once in a while, she would go say hi, but not like in the summer. She also gave him a very nice tip for Christmas, $250.
Jesus.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Sure.
Just a short interlude here.
Mm-hmm.
Who's tipping the mailman? Okay, I know we don't live in a country where tipping exists anyway.
Yeah.
But, okay, here's my other question. Who's getting mail? I'm never like, oh, thank God the mailman's here. I've been waiting for the mail. A also, courier, maybe. But just the regular old mail?
And it seems like this mailman is coming with some frequency and roughly the same time.
Yeah.
Whenever I get mail.
Yeah. It's pretty infrequent.
Yeah. And like it'll be sometimes it's 9 in the morning, other times it's 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah, right. I honestly have no idea. Mail could magically appear in my letterbox and I wouldn't know. I'd just be like, I guess that's how it gets there. Okay, anyway, $250 for a tip. That seems like a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway, even if I was to tip a mailman, like imagine if he's getting $250 at every place. That's a huge bonus.
Yeah, but here's a tip. Join the union.
Yeah, join the union. Okay. I had forgotten about all this until it started getting warmer out with spring. I couldn't do another summer of this, and so I
poor guy.
I decided to talk to her. Last night, I sat her down and showed her all the information from last year. Oh, God, that's so creepy.
Oh, man.
I explained that I didn't feel comfortable with how much attention she gave the mailman and asked if she could not do it this summer. She didn't understand. Or maybe didn't understand the numbers.
Yeah, that might be it. Yeah, that might be it.
She got very upset and started yelling that she didn't do anything wrong and just happened to be out there while he was there. I tried to show her the numbers again because maybe she didn't understand them the first time.
So well, if he didn't do anything wrong, then why am I so jealous? Ever think about that?
I'm 90% jealous. Okay, sorry. She didn't understand. No, wait. I've done that. I tried to show her the numbers again, but she got upset and slammed the computer lid on my finger. Oh, well, that's too far.
Yeah.
That's too far. Not any
I thought
finger.
They were overreacting until this point.
At that point, I got upset and walked out and went for a walk. When I got back home, she was gone and wouldn't answer her phone. She finally came home but wouldn't talk to me. She slept on the couch, and I honestly didn't get any sleep.
Oh, poor guy.
Oh, my God. Keep track of your sleep, though. Put that in a spreadsheet. It's been a very weird day, as she's only talking to me when absolutely needed. Oh, wait. This might be I think this was an original edit, maybe? I don't know. Otherwise, she's distant and won't talk to me. Am I overreacting, or is this normal for women to talk with the mailman? Now, here's the update. Okay. Update. People are asking for an update. Wake up this morning and she is still pissed. I guess I'll just give her more time. Many of you really aren't understanding this spreadsheet. I used it to show that she went out right around the time the mailman got here. It was a way to graph averages and show consistency. I may have been wrong about the tank top. I do realize that she may have taken off her top because it's hot outside.
Maybe. Also, maybe she goes outside, I don't know, over lunch, and that is the time that the mailman generally comes in their neighborhood.
It is vague as to what she's doing outside.
Because how do you know when the mailman's coming?
Well, he's saying like, mate, you don't understand the numbers, Kevin. Oh, my God. He said that it does come in like a window.
Yeah.
But on average, she's out there 20 minutes before just to make sure she catches him, you know? Mm. This is just personally. Like, I'm very rarely outside.
Yeah.
For more than 20
That's
minutes.
That's clear,
time.
Nelson, from like, this what? Podcast. I think you need to touch grass, my friend.
Very pale. but the TV's inside, Gavin.
Get a ring camera.
Oh, yeah.
Then you can
good.
See the outside from the inside.
Then I'm practically outside. Yeah. Okay. So it is weird to be out. To me, it's weird to be outside that often.
Yeah.
Maybe even if you're gardening, let's say, right? Yeah. A hobby of yours is gardening. I think if you're outside every day, you've got a rubbish garden. Or you're trying to crash the mailman. All right. Trying to sneak a peek at the mailman's butt, I think.
And it's a good butt.
It's objectively attractive, I would say. So I think here's my other thought with this. This guy's insane. Cambo, I love spreadsheets, and I feel like he's really
using them as a weapon.
I don't like but that.
I need to think, like, looking inward, if you thought, oh, Alan's gone out and she's been talking to that handsome mailman.
Yeah.
Would you care?
Is he objectively attractive?
Objectively.
Then yeah. Be like, no, thank you. Mainly because I'd be like, we never get mail. This is more suspicious.
Yeah, that's okay? true. And if he's bringing it up to your door, because you live in a shared driveway.
Yeah, he has to walk quite far away.
The mailbox is at the end of the driveway. He doesn't need to walk up and give her the mail.
Yeah, yeah, that's when you're not home. I'll graph the information. Yeah. I'll find out. Yeah. Okay. Here's the crazy thing. Is she flirting with the mailman? That's the question I want to ask.
Yeah.
Because maybe she is.
But also, maybe she's just friendly with the mailman.
I know, but I'm saying let's think about the possibility.
Yeah.
That, yeah, maybe she's flirting with him.
Sure.
Because maybe she did get upset because she's like, shit. And like, obviously, it's not going to be anything. People, I feel like, are allowed to flirt with other people, even if they're in a relationship. Yeah. You know? It's flirting is sort of fine. And then, obviously, just as long as it stays at a certain point.
Yeah.
Maybe she did get overly angry. I mean, it's hard when somebody shows you a spreadsheet to not get angry.
Yeah.
But
it's not just like, here's some data. He was like, I've been tracking you for a year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Without you knowing, this is what I've been looking at. Yeah, it's super like obsessive, isn't it?
The most I would have done was maybe go, I have to see the mailman again. Yeah, before I went, here's a year's worth of data I've been tracking you.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, because I think there's also a small possibility that she's like, well, shit, he is an objectively attractive man, and I have been flirting with him on occasion. Have I been going outside more often than I realize when I'm unnecessarily replanting plants because we've only got a small garden and I need to be out there at the right time? Yeah, maybe.
But I can do what I want. No one's tracking me.
No one's tracking me. She's like, oh, thank God they haven't plotted this on a graph. That would show some averages and consistencies.
Do you reckon he did have some graphs?
He had some graphs.
Yeah.
They weren't just numbers.
No.
Because as a data analyst, I know him.
And we know
hard to look at just
if they
numbers.
Were just numbers. She didn't even understand the numbers.
She didn't understand them. She didn't understand
Nor
them.
Did most of the people in the comments, it seems.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to understand the spreadsheet.
Nobody understands.
Because I like to think he's like, no, guys, the numbers are accurate.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's not the issue.
It is. I want to know if this guy is tracking this. He's tracking more stuff. I want to know what else he's tracking. And what would be really interesting is if he had a spreadsheet for different men his wife interacted with. Just because... Maybe what he failed to explain, he ran out of the character limit on the Reddit post. But he was like, I've been tracking several men that my wife interacts with. The guy at the laundromat.
Objectively attractive.
Objectively attractive. But the numbers don't lie. It's varied. The conversation changes from time to time. She doesn't always go there when he's working. You know, it's like, that's a perfectly fine relationship. It's the mailman that sticks out.
And I know it's a perfectly fine relationship because I tracked it.
Because I tracked it. And the numbers don't lie. Yeah, I think that's it. What if it's actually just this thing is a red herring? She's outside waiting, anticipating to get the mail because she's been having an affair.
Via the mail.
A letter of correspondence to her affair. And she was like, I cannot let my husband get
the letter
first.
And maybe the mailman's even in on it. So he's like, yeah. Oh, here's that special letter.
Yeah, that's right. Very sus.
We've cracked it. He's right, but not for what he thinks.
Not for what he thinks. Yeah, gotta look outside the box, buddy. All right, Kimberly, let's get into Ask Reddit.
Ask Reddit.
This Ask Reddit is by Yankee Vandal. Everyone has a travel blunder. What's yours?
travel blunder.
And the old travel blunder.
I can't think of one off the top of my head, a big travel blunder.
Everyone.
Yeah, well.
Can't bet everyone's got one.
I have uninteresting ones.
Oh, okay.
Like you've caught the wrong train and then had to switch up. Like things like that.
Yeah, well, I've got one like that. But, yeah, it did turn out okay in the end.
That's I was like, it put made me an hour late or something, you know.
Mine was, I remember I was in Malaysia, actually. And I was catching the train to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked somebody, like, which one to catch. And they were like, oh, yeah, this one's here. It goes the right way. I was like, okay, sick. And I just really wasn't really paying attention as to, like, which, like, where the airport was in relation to me. So which way the train should be traveling.
Mm.
And so when a train came on, I was like, sick, I'm going to go on this one. And the problem was the stop that I was on. In fact, I reckon I was like one stop before the airport. So I only needed to travel one stop. And I knew that. And then I got on the train and we started going like what I would describe as like country Malaysia.
And rural Malaysia.
Yeah. And I just like slowly got more and more worried as the train went by, to the point where there was like a couple of tourists that were like, are you all right? And I was like, I got on the wrong train. And I looked and I found out it was going to be like a 45-minute train ride or something. And I was like, oh boy. I was like close to like missing my, it was an international flight, so uh-huh. I didn't get there with plenty of time and whatnot. I ended up getting all the way there, running to somebody and being like, hey, I need to get back there. And they're like, well, you need to buy another ticket. I was like, I don't give a shit. I need to get back to the airport. And so got on again, went all the way there. And I reckon I just like missed my flight. For an international flight, I was like, you know, ran through like the security. They couldn't catch me. I was too fast. And then, managed to get on the plane right at the end. It was really nice. That was a bit of a travel blunder. I felt like such an idiot too, because I was like, it's so obviously not the right way that I've gone. As far as travel blunders, actually, I think the other one that comes to mind is the time that I was in Queensland for a week on a work trip. It was the cinema convention,
yep,
actually, that I went to. And so got to be proper and whatnot. I've only done this once. I forgot to pack underwear. And so I realized this like after the first day, obviously. And I was like, oh boy, this is not good.
The good thing is about that is you're somewhat near the theme parks.
Oh.
So you could go get the Warner Brothers silky boxer shorts that were very popular in the 90s.
That's true.
Because I don't know if people know this, but our theme parks in Australia are themed after the Warner Brothers cartoons.
Yes.
Not Disney.
Deal with Warner Brothers.
We have a Disney. Yeah. We have Warner Brothers.
So it was really awkward because it was a work thing. I couldn't get out during the day. I was like kind of manning a station.
Yeah.
I was in the like trades hall.
You're on a convention floor.
I was on the convention floor, yeah. And so I'm just kind of...
Royal dogging?
Well, the first 2 days, I'm wearing the same pair of underwear.
Yeah.
Maybe even... I might have stretched it to three.
Yeah.
And then I was like...
That is breaking point.
These are smelling now. Like... by the end of the third day, I was like, let's just check. I'm like, nope, this is not good. I can't do this. And I was like, well, like on the next day, I think I had like just a little bit of a break. Because sometimes people are in watching movies and it's still sometimes busy on the convention floor anyway. But I was like,
I had a
moment where I could run out. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go there. I went to like the closest shopping center area. I didn't realize how somehow you could have a shopping center with not one shop selling underwear. I went around to every single one. I even went into like a women's clothing size. Like, there's something suitable that I can put on here. And they were like, nah, sorry. And I was like, do you know where they can, there's a place selling underwear? And they were like, why? And I was like, don't worry about it. And
they were like, you could go for three days at the same pair of underwear. Like,
Anyway, so I literally had to give up, which made it worse because I've been like running around sweating in my only pair of underwear. Oh no, by that time I think I was commando.
Yeah.
And I was like, well.
Yeah, I would have gone commando.
This is just me now. Just commando. Really hope that my pants don't slip down enough that somebody sees my pubes. yeah, so that was, I've never, you know what? Make that mistake once though.
That's true.
I'll never
you
never
make
it again.
Twice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you did, I would have to shake my head. Like, Nelson,
do you
remember Queensland?
You've had this. And I'd be like, don't worry.
There'll
about
be
it.
A shop nearby.
I'm experienced with this. Commando. Shop. There'll
I've
be
got
one
3 days
shop.
And then it's commando. I am going to back up my own sentiment, which is I think travel blunders aren't that interesting.
Oh, okay.
In that I've opened this post to see some of the comments.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to hear some of the top blunders?
Yeah, top blunder me.
This is from Redundant Swine. Mm-hmm. I put my keys back through the letterbox of the Airbnb as requested.
Oh, yeah.
A few minutes later, I realized I needed the keys to access the garage with my rental car in it. Took an hour and a half for someone to appear to let me in. Got to the airport just in time to see my plane take off.
Yeah, it's annoying when, like my train story, we still made the flight. At least have some sort
but
of
But even
downside.
That this story, like, you're like, oh, yeah. Like.
Can't like, what? I don't know. This is like most of our content. Have you not psychoanalyzed our content before?
What about Mook 1178 said, I made a hotel reservation for the wrong weekend. Had to find a hotel 30 minutes away. The original reservation for the hotel, we could walk from our room to the beach.
Yeah, that one's okay. Shit.
That's the second most upvoted. 2,400 people upvoted.
But Cambo, the third one is going to be... A knee slapper.
It's long. Some Piran said, at the end of a trip to Rome, I needed to take a train to the airport to catch my flight. Sounding familiar.
This is good. This is good.
So at the track where the train to Roma Fiumicino, was announced, I got on the train. The train was fast, but it took way longer than I thought, and I started to worry a bit that I would be late for my flight. Then we arrived at the next train station, which was Florence.
You've made a blunder there.
So somehow I'd taken the wrong train for which I did not have a ticket and had missed my flight. I explained the situation to the conductor and he kindly let me stay on until the next stop, which would be Milan, without having to pay for a new ticket. By the time we reached the next station, I had gone online to book a hotel room in Milan and book a new flight from Milan home for the next day. I'd never been to Milan, and I had a good time there. So in the end, it all worked out.
Yeah, it is funny when they just all, it all works out.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
I was hoping somebody did something.
Ended up in prison.
Like a cultural faux pas that was just a bit funny. Nah, people just missing trains and stuff.
That's a lot of missing trains and flights.
Admittedly, the putting your car keys back in the letterbox would be really fucking annoying. Yeah. I'd be so pissed at myself if I'd be like, oh, I just needed to get the car out of the garage. I don't know if you've had this problem before. I have had this problem before. Garages seem like they could be broken into easily, but very much not the case.
Yeah.
I was like, I just need to like... wedge a little bit at the bottom.
It's just
get that up a little
bit of tin.
Yeah, and just kind of lift it up. Yeah, it's not.
No,
doesn't work.
They've really
that way.
Worked that out.
Yeah, they? They've really thought about people breaking into other people's garages. Turns out. Anywho, all right, Cambo, let's get into today I advise.
So now it's time for today I learned.
Today I learned.
And also sometimes advice.
This Today I Learn is by Major Payne, 2006. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
Was it in 2006?
No.
Okay. It was like a 90s movie.
Yeah,
was it?
I feel like it's like 97, 98.
Oh, they've got the year wrong. I bet you they were born in 2006 and they have no idea of the movie Major Payne.
With Damon Wayans.
Yeah. That was a good movie though, don't you reckon? I enjoyed it
at the time. I thought it was good. Yeah, 1995.
I think it was great.
They're almost a decade out.
I might have to watch that movie again. I think. I feel like that was good. Remember, he's like breaks the guy's fingers to take him away from the pain of being shot.
6.3 on IMDb.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, maybe I shouldn't watch it again because I have fond memories of that movie. Okay. Today I learned daughter from California syndrome is a phrase used in the medical profession to describe a situation in which a disengaged relative challenges the care a dying elderly patient is being given or insists that the medical team pursue aggressive measures to prolong the patient's life.
So, I guess they're taking a dig at California here by being like, they're all like entitled know-it-alls.
Yeah, I think that must be it, I guess.
Imagine if you are the daughter from California that inspired this name. One was just so notoriously bad.
Yeah.
That they named a whole syndrome after you.
Yeah. I hate this premise so much of like, there is this, I don't know. Don't you feel like we've built this culture where eventually we've kind of outsourced our well-being to others? And in both cases, it can be like the worst, a negative to whatever we want. Maybe you want to live forever. And somebody's like, this is expensive to look after you.
Yeah.
And we're going to give you like minimal care and, you know, couldn't really bother. Or the opposite. To me, this actually seems worse. Maybe not so much. But where you might be like on your deathbed, basically, and somebody else as your proxy is desperately trying to keep you alive. And because I can't think of anything worse than being pretty much almost dead. And somebody being like, no, but life is so good. I'd be like, just what life? Just let me go.
You are your father's son.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is your dad seems to desperately want to die after a certain age.
Yeah, my dad, well, not just him. My dad has, and some people might call this murder, but they'd be wrong, Hambo. It's just called mandatory euthanasia.
Yeah.
At the age of 70. Which seems pretty young.
Yeah, and he's fast approaching.
My mum is 74.
And he hates that.
This is not a sound conversation that happened in our family. It's an extreme kind of view, but here's the crazy thing. Okay, if you perhaps created a spreadsheet, Cambo, with some numbers about how the economy works around providing care to elderly people, you might find that the economy is actually far worse off. So if you had this mandatory euthanasia, it would actually improve the economy. And once you're 70, your life's basically over anyway.
Your mom hasn't done anything for years.
Yeah, my mom...
She sits in her little chair.
This seems really bad.
Doesn't move.
I love my mom so much.
And it's like, weren't they just away?
Yeah, yeah. We were in Uluru together. My mom is totally fine. Yeah. She is not by any description a drain, elderly, old. Yeah. Just holding on or anything like that. So everyone except my mom, all right? Mandatory euthanasia, 70 years old. It'll work out better for the world. Think about that. Do you reckon I feel like there is a scenario where that happens in a world where we're overpopulated, and maybe it's not 70, I don't know what it could be, but in a world where we're drastically overpopulated, we're like, we don't have enough resources for literally everyone. We need to put a cutoff age in here.
Yeah.
I feel like it doesn't seem out like totally out of the realm of possibility that it's either that or Hunger Games style arena tournament where you get drafted.
Mandatory euthanasia age is the premise of the movie Logan's Run.
Oh, is it? Is that an age thing? Oh,
yes, yeah. Though that was the age of 30.
Oh, that that's too young. Pretty young.
But I think, unless I remember that movie correctly, they are against it.
Yeah, but why?
Yeah, maybe no one explained to them the economy.
Is it for the greater good?
I think it's set in the future. I think it's like, overpopulation and like a resource and,
But surely it's, I imagine the problem is if you're rich or whatever, you don't ever have to go on Logan's Run or whatever.
I don't remember. It's been a while. I think the real problem was they filmed it in 1976 and they did not have the filmmaking technology to actually depict all the futuristic cities that they wanted to. So it looked quite cheap.
Oh, okay.
That's the real problem with that movie.
Yeah.
And then the next year Star Wars came out, they must have been so embarrassed. That one looks real good.
Lasers and stuff. shit. Anyway, I just think this, I don't know. My point is, it's just the worst to have somebody look after you as a person, your medical needs, regardless of how you feel about what they should do for you.
Yeah.
Anyway. Do you remember? Yeah, let's move on. All right, let's get into shower thoughts.
Shower thoughts, 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 shower thoughts, 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 shower thoughts, 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 shower thoughts, thoughts, thoughts.
This shower thought is by Flank Stakerson. Naming children after flowers and herbs is normal, but naming them after fruits and vegetables is strange.
I can tell you two people that didn't write this shower thought.
Oh.
Chris Martin or Gwyneth Paltrow?
Oh, no, yeah, they seem
famously,
like
famously, their child was named Apple.
Apple, yeah. Apple? Oh, can you get away with Apple? I don't think so.
No.
What fruit or nut or vegetable? I don't know why I said nut. Fruit or vegetable or now nut could you get away with as a name? Cashew?
I think if you're an Italian, you can have the last name pistachio.
Last name. Though.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, it's worse, I think, if you are Italian. That's really leading into it too much. Is that even like natively Italian? It sounds like it is, right?
But
like
if
somebody was like, no, this is Brazilian, I'd be like, no.
Maybe, yeah.
They've got two nuts. okay. Pumpkin. Oh, people get called pumpkin all the time.
That's a nickname.
Yeah.
Pumpkin.
But if you just, if you were like, no, legally.
I can't name my child Pumpkin because my last name is already a soup. So that's a bridge too
pumpkin
far.
Pumpkin, careful. Yeah, that's...
Most vegetables are out. Tomato? Can't name them that.
Oh, yeah, tomato. Tomato's no good.
Yeah. Chicken and sweet corn? Can't name them that.
Oh, yeah, that's no good. Chunky? Oh, no. broccoli. Onion. It needs to be slightly obscure, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Asparagus.
Dragon fruit.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I would like to be called dragon fruit.
Yeah.
Kiwi.
Guava.
Ooh, could you get away with guava?
Lychee?
Ooh, lychee. I'm not sure about lychee. Maybe. Persimmon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Persimmon's not bad.
That's not bad.
Durian. Because then they're Percy. Oh, durian. Oh, they couldn't ever smell it.
I know, I know. But it's not a bad name.
Yeah, durian kind of feels like it could be.
It kind of sounds like Dorian, and Dorian's a name.
Yeah, something like that. Okay, durian's not bad. Okay, we're getting there. I mean, surely there's some herbs as well that don't...
Like paprika.
Paprika.
That's more of a spice, but...
I wonder if you could, though, paprika. You know what? Part of me is okay with that. But like chives?
Chives Campbell is a cool name.
That is, you know what? I take it back. Chives? They would have to be a butler, though. That's, you've already set their career path when you call them chives.
Or a sick guy with a leather jacket. That guy over there has chives.
Oh, yeah, that is, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
No in between.
Yeah.
They cannot be a regular person.
Oregano. That's, I think that's too much. Nutmeg.
That's actually the longer version of Meg.
Oh, yeah. But like
Meg, short for Megan, you'd think, but yeah, not.
No. Not with my parents. No. How about star anise?
Star anise.
Anise is okay.
Yeah.
I feel like you could get away with that.
Mm. Can't do cumin. Cumin.
Cumin?
I'm just trying to think of any way that you can make it.
Yeah, you don't want. Can't do that. Yeah. I think we've gone through all of them. How about just time? Nah, time's no good. Mm. Wait, I've all of a sudden just realized I can't name a herb that is a good name.
Yeah.
Now I need to think of a good one. coriander. A.K.A. cilantro. Also still cilantro.
Mint.
Oh, mint. Okay. Yeah, it turns out no herbs at all. Flowers? Daisy. You got like daisy or something like that.
Rose.
Yeah. There's also, I think, an Australian flower that's called like kangaroo's foot.
And my cousin is actually named
after that. Is that right? Yeah. All right, here's another one. This is by The Real Noakes. We let our pets go their whole lives as virgins. I forgot I put this one in. It does seem cruel though, doesn't it?
Do you reckon your cat's a virgin? Rescue, so you never know.
Yeah, but he was a rescue for like different reasons, I feel like. Like he wasn't a stray or anything like that that maybe would have before he got desexed. But he's a purebred, so I feel like maybe they were like, before we sell you off, we'll get you to mate with something. A cat, presumably.
I reckon that's why Megs is so angry.
Oh, my God. This explains everything.
She's an angry little virgin.
Oh, yeah. He hates life because he's just never had sex. Oh, my God. I can't believe we worked that out.
This is an actual thing. He cries when he sees other cats.
Yeah.
And maybe he's just like,
they look like they've had sex. All right. Sure. All right. Let's get into podnapping.
Oh my God, I'm being podnapped.
Podnapping.
This is podnapping, where we nap a pod. We take a topic of conversation or a segment from another thing and we do it ourselves. This week is my week, and here's the thing. I did the show notes and then I forgot about podnapping, which is annoying. So I was like, I'll just do one that I did previously, which was the Mythbusters.
Yeah.
But when I say I forget, I mean like this morning, I was like, oop, don't have one. I say this morning, I mean like not long before I left to come here. So I didn't really have time. And then I could have probably put something together in between some of the recordings we were doing. But what I've opted for is to just do it on the fly.
This has famously never gone wrong for you.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a bad podnapping.
Lest we forget, what was that one you did? Football, car.
Sedan, wasn't it?
Something like that.
And shoe, I don't know. That we've had people write in about how good that one was, Kembe. So have we had anybody write in about how good your podnapping
is? Can everyone stop writing in about how much they love that podnapping?
Yeah.
Inbox is flooded.
Surprise interview, Kembe. That's another brilliant one of mine that everybody
when that
loved.
Finally paid off, though.
That was pretty good. That one lady. Okay. So here's the thing. How about, Kembe, you pick a topic first, because that's how I can break this down.
Okay.
Hidden dangers, counterintuitive phenomena, idioms. We've already done movie myths, so let's not do that one. Television, implausible events, crime and criminals, weather and natural phenomena, physical science and conundrums, household and everyday, food and drink, toilets and bodily functions, germs and health, cars and driving, aviation and aircraft, boats, sports and outdoors, animals, human behavior and psychology, physical feats, war and armaments, guns and bullets, explosives and explosions, unusual materials and uses, historical feats.
Let's go implausible events.
Okay. Ugh, crap, where was that? Oh, implausible events. Okay, here we go. Guess I'll just go down the list. I remember that they actually... I can't even read it out verbatim. because as it's written, it tells you whether it's a myth or not. Okay. Will a limousine balanced on the edge of a cliff topple if a bird lands on it?
I am going to say myth.
It isn't myth. It will not topple over. I don't really understand that necessarily. Well, I suppose that if it's going to tip over, if you've got it on the very edge, then even something like wind or something might blow it over, and it's not the weight of a bird that will do that. Tori put together a 40-pound, 18-kilogram analog of a Cory Bustard, the heaviest known flying bird. Almost even the heaviest. While Grant built a rig to drop up to 40, 25 pounds, which is 11 kilograms, raw turkeys on the carwood at once. The build team found the balance point using a pipe fulcrum and knife edge when positioned on the car on the edge of the 300-foot, 91-meter cliff. Even in high winds, the car did not tip. When the Bustard was dropped onto the hood, so Grant began adding one turkey at a time. It only went over the cliff after he had added 26 turkeys for an approximate total weight of 700 pounds. That, I do think it's cool that the Mythbusters managed to find this job where they were just like, we're going to test if something's true or not, but then because that's boring, sometimes it's just like, oh, no, you can't do the cool thing. You know, this won't explode if you do this set of circumstances that the myth says. But let's just add some gunpowder to it.
But when will it explode?
Yeah, yeah. What if we throw heaps of turkeys onto this limousine? How many turkeys does it take to tip over a limousine? That's the kind of job I want. Okay. Can a soldier put jet-assisted takeoff JATO rockets to their car and soar over a mile through the air? Soldier, attach rockets to their car.
And soar a mile. I'm assuming off a ramp. A
mile through the air. It must be.
Because you can't
like
just take off from the ground.
That, yeah, it doesn't seem.
Over a mile. Doesn't seem plausible to me. I'm going to say myth.
That's true. Could not have soared over a mile through the air. That's like way too far. Way a too mile? Far.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Meters.
Although maybe the JATO rockets, maybe they're like, can usually push something that far. So, oh yeah, okay. Can a person in a lawn chair be lifted by weather balloons? And as a double, can a child be lifted by a huge number of party balloons?
I think this is possible.
Yes, it is true. I mean, yeah, they're really... Like, it. That one doesn't surprise me. Sometimes they do stuff and they're like, oh, we're going to see if this works. I'm like, I mean, I'm pretty sure that'll definitely work. Like,
yeah, if you strap enough balloons to a kid.
Yeah. Like, I have some sort of understanding of how much helium can, like, lift. You know, as a kid, I feel like I used to tie a balloon to, like, something kind of light and be like, oh, it's lifting it. And then maybe a few balloons onto something heavier. Like, I've worked this one out as a child that with enough you could do that. Can you transform a broken down car into a working motorcycle with only basic hand tools?
Plausible.
It says... transferring a broken down car into a working motorcycle with only basic hand tools is not feasible.
Okay.
Which maybe does mean that it's plausible. No, just busted, they've put. All right, I'll do one more category, Cambay.
There was one with weather.
Weather and natural phenomena. Okay. I remember seeing this one. Okay. Will a person stay drier by running in the rain as opposed to walking?
Huh. No. I think that's a myth.
A myth. They will stay drier by running in the rain rather than by walking, which to me, I do not understand. And my vague memory of the episode is they don't really explain it either. They're just like, well, I guess.
We don't know why it happened. Yeah. Good night.
Yeah. Because I remember they even, it was one of those times where you're like, shit, Jamie in particular is just super nerdy. So they had to have a scale that could weigh like minute differences in weight, right? Because obviously they like put this little like a suit on them, and then they needed to know
how much water weight
there would be just from droplets of rain, kind of thing. And as they're at this like place getting this scale, Jamie has some sort of like metal thing that he puts on the scale, and he's like, oh, well, I actually know exactly how much this piece of metal weighs, like just a little souvenir that he has on him. And that scale is incredibly accurate. I was like, trust somebody, some fucking nerd to have something on them that they know the exact weight to the like 0.000 of a pound or whatever. I just thought that was really funny. Okay. Is standing in a doorway the safest thing to do in an earthquake rather than drop, cover, and hold on?
Busted.
Yeah, it's not the safest thing to do. I feel like we haven't had, from what I've seen on TV, we don't have as prominent advice around earthquakes.
Normally when an earthquake happens, everyone goes, what was that?
Yeah.
What was that?
We had an earthquake. That's amazing. Because it's only ever very small and nothing ever really gets damaged that badly.
The window might rattle.
Yeah, exactly. Does every American know what the safest thing to do in an earthquake is? I don't know. All right. Okay, how about this one? Oh, it's the last one. Can an extreme hailstorm sink a boat?
I mean, maybe with damage? More, are they trying to say there's so much hail that it weighs it down? Is that what they're trying
maybe
to
Maybe it's a bit of both. Maybe it's like
if it was severe enough to make a hole or something in the side of a boat, which would be pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Because they're normally steel.
Pretty sturdy, yeah.
Because years and years ago, we had a pretty bad hailstorm here, and it was like damaging people's cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Like pretty badly. That's what I'm trying to think. Okay, if you had an even more severe one, could damage a boat enough to sink it. I'll say plausible.
It says, this is the sentence, an extreme hailstorm, you're right, may be able to sink a boat. That seems pretty crazy to me.
Yeah.
That is like possible. Okay, should I read the thing? Because this one seems interesting. To begin their tests in the shop, the build team fired large baseball-sized spheres of ice at boat. See, like, how cool is that? As a job. We're like, we're going to just create these awesome snowballs, basically, and fire them with compressed air at this boat hull. They began firing the ice at 80 miles per hour, 123 kilometers an hour. To simulate terminal velocity, this speed, the ice did not puncture an aluminium, fiberglass, or a wooden hull. At 150 miles per hour, 241 kilometers an hour, simulating hail in a hurricane, the ice still did not puncture any of the hulls. At 300 miles per hour, 483 kilometers an hour, the fastest recorded tornado speed, even though hail isn't typically in tornadoes, the ice only penetrated the weakest areas of the wooden hull. At this point, the mist was described as busted, but the team decided to continue these tests with the boats actually floating on water. The ice did not penetrate the fiberglass hull even at 300 miles per hour. With the wooden hull, the ice penetrated at 300 miles per hour and 150 miles per hour, but not at 80 miles per hour. Oh, that's interesting that, like, actually it makes it weaker in some way. The build team also reasoned that the hail could potentially sink a boat by filling up its volume with enough extra mass. At a port, they began filling one of their small boats with ice. The boat only began to sink after 4,000 pounds, 1,814 kilograms of ice was added. The boat did not sink entirely because the ice began floating and supporting its own weight in the water. Yeah. Because this myth appeared to be possible in extreme situations, it was deemed plausible. Interesting. Anyway, that was my partnering. Did I do a good job? I do find the myths interesting, but, you know, probably could have done a little bit more there. Anyway, let's get into Ask Me Anything, where listeners of the show, just like you, listener, can write in and ask us anything you want.
Now, you've put two here. I actually think they're backwards.
They are, but it's only because I felt like we spoke about the top one first.
Okay.
Like, so, most recently.
Okay. Well, do you want to do one or two?
Well, let's do one.
Okay. Top one?
Sure.
Okay. First off, my email before I got to the end. I fired off my email before I got to the end of the AMA. So that was in reference to an email we'll read next week.
Yeah.
You guys nailed how many shares I brought, and you know the buy and sell price. If you did what I did, you may have brought 100 shares at 35 and sold them for 50 USD. Do some maths for profit. That being said, if we were in the same boat, the IRS would hit you up for 40% tax on that.
Yes. So Hazim has confirmed he is actually a millionaire.
And is
I've
willing.
Done the math. And I got the spreadsheet out. It is actually over $1 million.
Also, sign me up for RIOR coin.
That's actually pretty good. I think we struggled to come up with a name.
Rior coin.
But Rior coin, it looks good.
It does look good. It looks like something you see on a little ticker.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's right.
Since you guys brought it up, I've been called as a doctor on a flight twice. Once for a kid who bumped his head and needed bandaging. Another for someone who they thought was having a stroke. Not so fun fact, one of your main jobs in that situation is to determine if they should divert the flight and land early for medical attention. If multiple docs step up, it usually goes to who is specialized for the issue, i.e. for the stroke and I can't say this word.
I don't know. Ophthalmologist?
Ophthalmologist, yeah. Thank you. Also stood up, but sat down when he saw a cardiologist step up.
Oh! Zimbo's like, hey, get out of here.
Sit down, buddy.
You stupid ophthalmologist.
I once stepped aside when a critical care doctor stepped up. So Zimbo could all big in his boots. And then someone tapped him on the shoulder and went, buddy.
Yeah. I'm a critical care dude.
Yeah. Regards
Zimbo. Yeah, that's really interesting, the whole being a doctor on the plane and you know, being like kind of working out whose specialty is the most, and then also having the pressure put on you to be like, should we turn this plane around? And that should really depend on if you're going to holiday or back
you're
home.
You're there in your little Hawaiian shirt with your bucket in Spain.
Yeah.
Should we turn around?
Yeah, that'd be right. Yeah. They're dead anyway, so why does it matter?
They're not dead.
I'm totally fine. Yeah, that would be that's a really interesting situation. Do you reckon ever they ask for a doctor and a psychologist or something stands up, and then, you know, usually they just get outranked by another doctor who's actually doing something, you know, related to the injury or the critical situation. But if they're the only one, they're like, well, technically by PhD you are more qualified to look after this person who is having a heart attack.
Imagine if it's a therapist, but then they got outranked by a dentist.
Oh, you'd feel so bad. You'd be like, come on.
I guess it's more of a real doctor than me, but Don't feel great about it. Yeah. There's no other doctors on board? Anyone?
Dentist it is. Anyway, starts putting in a crown or something.
Which wasn't the problem.
Which was, yeah.
The crown did fall out.
Yeah. It was an emergency. All right. That's it. Thanks for writing in, Zimbo. If you would like to write into us, you can do so. Reddit podcast, R-E-A-D-I-T podcast at gmail.com.
Yep.
You can also reach us at our subreddit or the Discord, which is in the show notes. We'd also appreciate it if you could rate and subscribe to the show if you haven't already. Or if you have, do it again.
And to help our numbers, unsubscribe from another show you're subscribed to. We don't want them to look too popular.
Yeah, I don't know if you know how this works, but there's only X number of subscriptions that are available in the world, much like Bitcoin, I think. Yeah. So just unsubscribe just in case, just so somebody else can subscribe to ours. That's how it works.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and we will read you later.